y'all, and welcome back to another episode of the Innovation Room podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tori Holman. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Randon Huff. And today we're really diving into a crucial, inspiring topic, the role and impact of women in the facility maintenance industry. And so, Randon, what are you excited about?
Good to be here, as usual. And this is a topic, obviously, that's close to my heart. I am a female in the facilities industry, and I'm just really excited. Kim Goey is just a great guest to be on for this specific topic. She's definitely a trailblazer. She is a force to be reckoned with. And I'm just really looking forward to her insight on this topic and what she can bring to us and let us know about the opportunities and challenges for women in the facilities maintenance industry.
Now, it is my sincere pleasure to introduce our guest, Kim Goey. She is the president of FEXA. Her professional journey actually began in the world of retail management, and she made some pretty amazing contributions to organizations like the Virgin Group, Anthropologie, which is a personal like fashion favorite of mine, and Pier 1 Imports. And then she spent about a decade at the helm of operations for Reading International. And while she was there, she played a really key role in a merger and acquisition that they had with Tatum. And then after that, she founded the Goey Group, which is a consulting group that focuses on just really driving business initiatives through growth and organization and innovation. And now she obviously is with FEXA. So we are so excited to have her on with us today. Kim, welcome to the Innovation Room. Can you tell us just a little bit more kind of about your journey in the facility maintenance space and just really why you're passionate about advocating for women in the field?
I'd love to. And my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me to join y'all today. I often hear people say, you know, I fell into this industry. I have no idea how I got into this industry. I sort of share the same sentiments. This industry has a tendency to kind of really invite the people who belong here in, and it just it's pretty magical that way. But I really grew up in retail. I grew up in retail operations. You know, obviously facilities management's a part of operating a retail environment. So I was definitely always exposed to facilities management, but got more formally exposed when I got into consulting. And then finally, outside of being a consultant, I became a founder. I founded a company and sort of learned a lot, obviously, as a founder of a company and really a startup boutique consultancy for business development. And then made my way into executive management and ultimately software and technology. So it's a strange journey. I don't think anybody in this industry wakes up and says, well, when I grow up, I'm going to get into facilities management. And I honestly, I wish there were more people who did that because it's such a fantastic industry to be in. And I'm so delighted to be a part of it. I really consider myself grateful. As far as your question around, you know, passionate for advocating for women, I mean, I've seen this industry change quite a bit since I've joined it. And first of all, regardless of whether you see them forward facing and a lot of leadership and executive roles, because really there aren't so many of those in our industry still to this day, you definitely know they're the backbone of the industry. They're behind the scenes. They're processing things. They're pushing things forward. They're problem solving. You know, they're finding solutions to these problems. So they're such a big part already. And I think the reason why I'm passionate is I'd love to see more women step forward into leadership roles and really make an impact on our industry.
Yeah, I completely agree, you know, with you in regards to, did I ever think that I was going to be in this industry? Absolutely not. And it's definitely, especially when I first started, male driven. And I think that's something, you know, when you think of maintenance or fixing things, I don't know if it's just the nature of how you go, it is more male driven. But in terms of like the evolution and gender diversity, how have you seen that evolve since, you know, you started versus to where you're at now?
I mean, it definitely has evolved. So I do have to really acknowledge the industry for embracing the importance of not only women and gender diversity, but diversity in general. Just, you know, different backgrounds, different experiences, right? It's been really exciting to see. And I think, you know, so I really started my journey in this industry maybe 10, 12 years ago. And I think, you know, early days, I was one of the few women on the trade show floor. And back in those days, and this wasn't that long ago, it feels strange to say this, but back in those days, I would go onto a trade show floor and I would see women being used as carrots in a trade show booth, you know, maybe scantily clad or dressed very provocatively. And I mean, honestly, I was sort of surprised, I guess not so surprised to your point, Rhiannon, about the industry we're in. We think about turning wrenches. We think about technicians on roofs. We think, you know, so you think about facilities maintenance, you generally think about men. So I guess it shouldn't have been so surprising, but it was almost uncomfortable to be in an environment where, you know, women were sort of being tokenized in that fashion. And I also think it's not just because of the type of industry we're in, but it's also because our industry, and for so many good reasons even, our industry hasn't necessarily evolved itself, despite the way, and I actually just had a customer say this to me recently, despite the fact that we are constantly innovating with technology, and obviously that's a really close part to my heart, but outside of that, outside of technology and AI and a lot of the new tools and techniques that we're using, the process of managing facilities really hasn't changed too much. You know, the idea of compliance, that really hasn't changed too much. The idea of cost management, budget management, asset lifecycle. I mean, asset lifecycle, I swear it's Groundhog Day every time I attend a roundtable. Like, yeah, we were talking about asset lifecycle 20 years ago still, and it's still a hot topic. You know, I think back to your question around, you know, how we've seen women and genders evolve in this industry. I do think it's become more embraced. You can now more visually see it. You know, if you go onto a trade show floor, attend an event, attend a webinar, you're going to see people that maybe talk differently than you, look differently than you, have, you know, different experiences, might be different ages. And I'll tell you a short story just because I think it's one of my favorite stories, and I may have even said it on to you, Rhiannon, or in some other forum, because it's what is one of my favorite stories to share. I was a part of founding a DE&I committee at a industry association called Connects FM, used to be known as Prism, and I was a part of the DE&I committee there and one of the founding chairs. And it was so exciting just to see the industry sort of formally take a step and, hey, let's formalize a group where we can really embrace diversity and try to drive diversity, because we also know that's the future of our industry, right? I mean, in order to keep our industry relevant and alive. And we hosted this event to get people together in the industry as kind of a networking event. And we had bingo cards. And on the bingo cards, the different squares on the bingo cards were find someone who speaks a different language, find someone who is from a different place, find someone who might celebrate a certain holiday that you don't celebrate. And, you know, the one square that really resonated with me was find someone who has an invisible disability. Just from those types of discussions and conversations and opening the dialogue around how we're different, that specific square to me allowed me to be able to publicly say to someone, I have anxiety. That's an invisible disability. It's something that affects me, and probably not one person around me would say, oh, I know Kim, she's anxious. I don't present myself as anxious. It's really something I've dealt with secretly. It's like an invisible disability. And so that started a journey of me really facing and becoming more outspoken about how we all have, we may have anxiety, we might have learning disabilities, we might have different ways of processing information, we might have ADHD, we might have all of these different types of things. And now that I talk about it more publicly, I found that's more embraced. So I almost feel like the evolving that you mentioned, Rhiannon, is, you know, again, not just with gender, but generally speaking with diversity, has been because we've opened discussions. We've made it safe to talk about. We've, you know, hosting a podcast about women in facilities, that's not only widely accepted, it's embraced. It's welcomed. It's sought after.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more in regards to just seeing the different changes. I haven't been in the industry, well, honestly, it's going on 10 years. So pretty close to similar to your journey. And I couldn't agree more that it's changed so quickly in such, to me, what I feel is a short amount of time, just how things have opened up. I would say even like you said, from my first trade show to where we're at now, and you know, just because we're getting ready to go into trade show season and things along those lines, like they have the women in facilities or females in facility groups at these. And a lot of times it isn't just the females that are attending. It is the males or anybody that wants to join in. And it is that inclusive family. And I think that's where I notice it is it's just that we're all kind of that close-knit family that we're relying on each other. And it really doesn't matter who you are and what your background is and we all kind of ended up in this saying, I didn't realize I would end up here.
Yeah. It's so
and
true.
We can relate to each other in that way.
Yeah. Or even right, just this idea that, for lack of a better term, that blue collar work requires some level of ridiculous physical strength is, I mean, there are cases where that's true, but as a general rule, it requires a level of physical fitness, but it doesn't require this like machismo, you know, I got to have huge biceps in order to climb a ladder or something, right? And so I love to see industry organizations like Kinex, just a couple people kind of starting that conversation and then inviting people into that and saying, let's talk about this. And how do we intentionally just encourage young women, but women of all walks of life to really dig into this and to see, you know, how do we start having those conversations? And Kim, I think you're, you know, kind of on the front lines in our industry and making those conversations happen. And so it's exciting to get to talk to you about that. I did want to ask you, so kind of circling back to your story a little bit, do you feel like there's just a pivotal moment for you in your career where you, something was just enlightening or just really clicked for you about maybe why your story in the industry is a little bit different because you're a woman? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. I present myself as a mature individual probably because I've been working for so long. I've, you know, been working full time since I was 16 years old. So even through college and everything. So I feel like I have a layer of experience. I think the pivotal moment for me was really when I kind of felt like I had entered into an area of, hey, that's strange. And I am confident and wise enough to do something about it or to say something about it. I would really say probably the moment I think of most is when I was a consultant in this industry, and I kind of use this in my intro as well, just explaining, you know, how I've seen females really in the background, you know, sort of powering a lot of the productivity, but they're not necessarily the forward-facing leader. They're the person who's actually, you know, solving the problem. I saw a lot of, and obviously I won't name names, but I saw a lot of lack of empathy just in general with this organization and a lot of the stakeholders, including the vendors that they would use, they had customers and they had vendors, right? The lack of empathy and understanding and alignment and the, you know, just the sheer miss of how will we solve this together? How are we going to partner together? It's in both of our best interest. It was really a, we're in charge, you do what we say. And I saw the females, and again, I don't want to generalize because certainly there were very incredible males as well. But the most memorable females for me were the ones who stepped up and really found those mutually beneficial solutions. They really, you know, balanced that, you know, combination of culture and partnership with performance and getting it done. You know, and they had, you know, I mean, they, speaking in this particular instance, there was a care that existed that I just, you know, didn't see in a lot of the leadership in general, which was predominantly male driven. And actually, I think it was almost all male driven, to the care of, you know, beneath the surface and the lower levels of the people who are actually on the front lines. And really, it kind of led me to believe and understand that if not for those people, that business would be failing. If you had the entire, every layer of the leadership all the way down to the people on the front lines answering the phones and really solving the problem, if everybody approached business in that lack of empathetic way and the, listen, you do what I say way, that company would no longer be around. That was a very pivotal moment where I started being a bit more vocal about, hey, remember we're here too. And hey, look at what we just did and look at what you just did. And so that was kind of cool. And, you know, I found it was easier because I'm one of those underdog people. I'm one of those, oh, I see the potential in you and I see what you could do. And in that scenario, it really was, you know, those were the people who were maybe not being treated the best. And I just felt like I was kind of supporting them. And I immediately started speaking up and coaching here and there and encouraging them to, you know, encouraging them to make the decision, right? Instead of waiting for two layers, you know, and just take some ownership. And so I think that's definitely permeated. That's a great question, Tori. And I think that's definitely permeated into, you know, how I approach things now, where I'm very, very comfortable, maybe too comfortable, call it, pointing those things out. But definitely that was a very poignant experience. And it was just a really big aha moment for me.
Absolutely. And so it sounds like I kind of heard you speak a little bit about mentoring, and that's something we've talked about on previous episodes of the Innovation Room, but specifically in this topic of women in the industry. Can you kind of speak to that? Like, you've mentored women. Have you had other women who have really spoken into your life and into your career? And just, can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, I would love to talk about this, because I think there's a misunderstanding around what mentorship really is. Mentorship doesn't have to be a formal program, and it doesn't have to be a, you know, set time of day or session or assignments or, you know, something really specific that you're after to solve. And it can be that, certainly. You know, I've been really lucky to have some mentors that were a bit more formal in nature, and still to this day do have those mentors that I, you know, really look up to. And so I think there's no finish line as far as mentorship. That's the first thing I would say, is you don't get mentored and you're done. You're like, oh good, I know everything I need to know. I mean, the consistency of mentorship is so important. But I think mentorship could be viewed just simply as asking a question and getting advice or getting guidance or asking how someone else might approach something. And I find that a lot in this industry, where, you know, we all kind of lean on each other. Hey, what do you do when this happens? Or, hey, I'm really struggling with this. What do you think? The advice, you're always going to learn something from that advice, whether it's, oh, maybe that's something I should consider, or, oh no, that's definitely not something that would work, and maybe it provides more clarity to my problem, right? So yes, very passionate about mentorship. I am grateful to allocate a bit of time to mentoring a couple of people in this industry. Again, more informally, I don't want to present myself as a coach. I don't want to present myself as a formal mentor that will take you from point A to point B, but in the definition of always there to support, always there to give advice, to ask good questions, to help you learn something about yourself, ultimately, that always helps the needle move. And as long as we're both learning something from it, I think that it's a wonderful thing to do and a great investment of time. And I'll close my monologue by saying, I think more companies should invest in that professional development time and be very supportive of calendar blocking for that type of time, where it's not, I'm doing something and you're going to tangibly see what I'm doing. It's a, I need a moment to kind of work through something or get some advice or guidance. And companies would be really well served to allocate that time and grant that to their employees.
I'm going to go ahead and dive into topic two. And what we're going to talk about now is just the importance of women's perspectives in this facility. And I know they're crucial. I know, Kim, you are definitely a force of nature in this industry. And you had just talked in the past about mentorship and how, you know, and I remember, you know, first meeting you, you have a presence. And I think something about you that is great is that you're just open and approachable. And I find that, you know, we run into women all the time in this industry, like we talked about, that it's involved and they have unique insights. What do you think specifically that women have brought to this industry regarding their insights, that traditionally this was such a male-dominated industry?
I mean, how much time do we have?
Yeah, fair.
Thank you for the compliment. It's very kind of you. So many insights. I feel like I could kind of answer this question by sharing more around some of the kind of the capabilities I think women have that they bring to the table, which really drives those insights. But I think just the ability to juggle multiple things without being overwhelmed. And I wouldn't suggest that we don't get overwhelmed, because we absolutely get overwhelmed sometimes. But so the ability to multitask, the ability to problem solve, candidly, I think that's a good and a bad thing, because I think we problem solve very succinctly and we're used to facing problems and solving problems, whether it be in our professional worlds, but also in our personal worlds. And we're usually sort of the rock and the foundation for many people in our family. But I also think that's probably a bad thing, because we always jump to problem solving. We're always like, oh, I got an answer for that. And sometimes it's a little hard to take a minute to be like, oh, wait a second. Do I really need to solve this problem? Should I be waiting on this problem? But I mean, in this industry in particular, I mean, what are we hired to do? I always like to say we're the master problem solvers. We are the most resourceful people you will ever meet in facilities management. And you will be shocked at how swiftly we can not only solve a problem, but we will be on to the next. It is head spinning fast. So I think that's another really unique trait and talent that we bring. I think just one more to add, I think we're just sort of resilient. I mean, I think we're like kind of, you know, I mean, you can kick us down, but we typically don't dwell very long on it. We just are like, okay, now back. And I think that's probably, again, speaks volumes into why women are so important in this industry, because this is, you know, dare I open the can of worms on how thankless this industry is and how we're constantly having to prove ourselves. We're constantly have to we're a cost center, right? So, you know, I think the resilience that women exude, being the foundation that everybody looks to, I think is so important to this industry. And really, you know, we keep the industry on its head by that type of resilience and persistence that we constantly demonstrate. So I could probably say so much more, Rhiannon.
I can completely agree. And I would just say that, you know, you need obviously perspectives from both. And that's where, again, the evolution has taken place, where, yes, just like you talked about your story earlier, where you can learn and give feedback and grow together. And I think, yeah, we've ultimately had to be a little bit stronger initially in this industry and have to speak up a little bit louder, because we may not have been heard. That headstrong, got to have almost that self-confidence of, I know I bring something to the table. I know I have a solution to this problem. And I think that it's completely right that we're the chaos coordinators. I mean, whether it be professionally or personally, who comes to us when things are, you know, in the house? We're the chaos coordinators, whether it's everybody's schedules or, you know, kids soccer, or it's whatever it is, you know, A to Z, it's we're the chaos coordinators. And it's funny because we are just built differently. And that's just how it is. But I talked to my husband, you talked about how we can have so many things on my plate, but I've talked to my husband in the past about how men have like a nothing box. Where you ask him like, what are you thinking about? And he's like, nothing. What do you mean? Is that even possible? What do you mean nothing? Where, you know, and there's the picture they show that like men's brains are like two straight roads, you know, they have, and then women is like this intersecting highway of something's always going on. And again, just like you said, that can be, you know, just like strengths and weaknesses, we can use that to our advantage. But it also can be detrimental for us getting overwhelmed. But absolutely, I couldn't agree more with what you said. And just obviously, too, the empathy aspect of it and being able to have that nurturing nurturing spirit that we have. So we don't want to lose that with our boss lady, you know, but yes. So with that, do you think these perspectives can drive, you know, and Bexa is leading in regards to innovation, but do you think that these perspectives of women can help drive the innovation and progress of the industry?
Yeah, I mean, how could it not, right? I think just going back to what you said, Rhiannon, and I'll kind of connect the dots to this question too. It's, you know, there was a period of time when I remember, and even now, I see women try to emulate what they think a women leader, like you mentioned, the boss lady kind of persona. I'm so glad that that's sort of being dispelled now, just as not relevant, does the opposite. It doesn't seem genuine. It just, it's inorganic. I'm so glad that
I hear the term alpha female constantly.
Yeah.
And you felt like for a while that you had to take that on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know what? There's a way to be an alpha female that still is very plugged into the benefit of the people around her and leads in a very, you know, empathetic, radical, candor way. And doesn't lead with the fear. You know, I think I've seen a lot of that, sort of the older school female leaders who, you know, they've kind of learned bad habits from some of their leaders. And thankfully, all leadership is evolving into more of this leadership style, you know, this leadership style of trust and not of fear, right? And empathy. And there's so many women leading the way. But to answer your question, I definitely think it's going to drive innovation. I think how women operate in general, getting past the absolute positively, we should embrace and own the fact that there's imposter syndrome, there's lack of confidence, right? There's, you know, potentially not enough mentorship, not enough, you know, fear of failure, fear of, everybody has that, everybody, regardless of whether you're a male or a female. Getting past that and really kind of embracing the wisdom that has been garnered across females in this industry and bringing a lot of those females that I was describing earlier, you know, the females that are sort of in the background, bringing them to the forefront. I think that's where we'll see the most innovation in our industry. I think it's the perfect combination of risk-taking, but also thoughtful approach. And it's, you know, it's that combination of performance where we're seeing the needle move. You mentioned the trade shortage, Rhiannon, and oh my goodness, this is something everybody in our industry should be losing sleep over right now. And, you know, obviously there's so many creative ways to do that. And I think women in particular have a really thoughtful approach. And these are humans that are being brought into a fold that they're not familiar with, right? We're recruiting people outside of our industry, male, female, you know, very diverse backgrounds, to join our industry. And I think females are the ones to lead that charge because they do have that ability and that innate understanding of to lead in a very inspirational, visionary type way. In a, hey, we can all win here. Hey, let's make sure we're all feeling good about this, right? Versus, you know, leading with fear, leading with a, you know, cutthroat kind of mentality. And by the way, I'm not suggesting men always lead that way either, but you know, I definitely think there's a lot that can be done. I'd love to see more female CEOs. I'd love to see more female founders. I'd love to see more female, you know, heads of operations. It's funny, we actually see quite a bit of females in HR and marketing, right? Because we are talking about humans there. We're talking about how can they relate with your audience. And women are really great at that. But imagine taking those skills and putting it into the C-suite and putting it into the leadership that, you know, that would make a huge impact across our industry.
And I can't think of the statistic right off the top of my head, but I want to say that it's in maybe Fortune 500 companies where initiatives that involve mentoring, sustainability, like kind of some of the things that you had touched on earlier, Kim, that bring empathy and compassion into our sphere of consideration of how do we operate our business. 9 times out of 10, those are driven by women. And you know, men and women have different kind of innate giftings, and we should acknowledge, celebrate, utilize those gifts to the best of their ability. But how do we take the gifts that women just bring to the table and use them in ways that serve everyone? Because men need empathy too, right? Women need it. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs to benefit from those gifts. So it's not, we're not just, there's facts that back that up, y'all. Oh, there's facts.
Well, and something that North American does, where I would say historically is, you know, not necessarily true across, you know, all companies or, North American is very focused on, now we're a family run business for over 100, you know, almost 100 years. And, but they focus really truly on the home life is important, just as important to us as it is to you. Because if your home life is, you know, that's most important. And then work and looking at that and being able to, you know, as a woman say, okay, they care about what's going on at home. They care about and having that, that empathy and that availability as a woman, as a mom, as, you know, that my company looks at that as that's important to me, that and to everybody, and everybody benefits that. It's one less thing that I have to worry about. So if something happens at home, I know I can take care of that and keep on going. So it's just really, it's really unique. And I think, again, that's something that can evolve even more. And just letting, you know, where, and I think that has where that home life balance as, you know, because again, in the past, we're talking way back, it used to be moms stay home, you know, the women stay home with the kids and the men work and work. That's when you saw a lot of overworked, that's all they do, workaholics, you know, and not having that balance and having that complete separate. And now, I mean, the fact that we can do both and we can move forward and be successful in both, and that we have companies that are allowing that and making that a priority is so encouraging moving forward.
Super encouraging. So. I'd be curious, do you see, so North American Signs, it's awesome that that's a part of their, the fabric, and they're creating a safe space for you and they're supportive of you being a human outside of just you being a performer and delivering results. So, I mean, I think that's amazing. Do you see a lot of that in our industry as a whole? Like a lot, let's just say a lot of the maintenance companies. Do you see that change being made?
Well, I think there definitely is. There was a distinct shift to when COVID happened, and you have, yes, a lot of people working from home, and how that's also affected.
Yeah.
I guess the work-life balance too. You know, for me, I can throw something in the crock pot while I'm sitting right here and not have to worry about it. You know, it's ready. I don't have the drive to and from work. So I think that's kind of twofold. I think that does make a huge difference. But yeah, I mean, I hope that people are more in the direction. I know you see other companies that have, you know, longer, not only maternity leaves, but paternity leaves, things along those lines. But even in the past, before, when we worked at the office, if a kid was sick or there was a school program or something along those lines, it was just ingrained into our culture. And we knew that from up front, that you let us know when that something like that is going on, because we will make it work. And the thing is what it also in turn gives is it makes me want to give back to my company more. Because I know, again, they don't just care about that productivity. Yeah, that's obviously top of the line. But when you give to your employees like that and know what's important to them, you ultimately, and as a leader myself, you know, I've tried to embrace that culture with my team, and knowing that what is important to them is also important to me, and whether we all have to step in as a team. And that's when you, again, have that team atmosphere and having people step in and say, hey, you got this going on tonight. One of my employees is in place quite frequently. So just, you know, you got that going on tonight. Somebody else, whether it be me or somebody else, will take on call tonight. You go ahead and do your play. And again, just making that culture of the importance. And I have to say that, yeah, that's generally more initially that human aspect that women driven need initially.
Yeah.
And I think so. Everybody's jumping in, though. I mean, I think that's one of those things that it benefits everybody. It benefits anybody to see that you're cared about, just like we talk about constantly. A happy employee is a good employee, is what, you know, I always say. So,
yeah. Which, Kim, to reflect that question back to you, do you feel like you're seeing it shifting at all? in the industry?
You know, I think so. And one of the reasons I was curious from your perspective, Rhiannon, because you also work with a lot of companies, just like we work with a lot of companies in this industry. I'm glad you brought up COVID, because I do think we took a hit with COVID and some of the expectations, and the statistics are real around, you know, women quitting jobs, not just women, by the way, but there were also men who quit their jobs to, but typically it's women quitting jobs to look after their family, to prioritize their family. And now they're coming out of COVID going, well, wait, what do I do now? I mean, they feel like they've kind of taken a step back. And this actually, not to digress too much off the topic, but one of the things I had was sort of excited to share with you all today was I was recently at a Mainsail Women Empowerment Dinner. Thankfully, we have an investor who's really committed to women and women in leadership and creating that type of community. I was at this dinner and it was led by Coco Brown, who's the founder of this group, Athena Group. She's just fabulous. She's so smart. And one of the things she mentioned was how she like dispels and blows up this idea of a ladder, climbing the ladder. She said, our careers are more like jungle gyms. It's like jumping from one here and then jump. And it's considered a bad thing if you're taking a step back on the ladder. It's, oh, you know, I'm taking a lower title or I'm taking, and that's so untrue. And I do think in this industry, we're sort of kind of stuck on things like titles. We're stuck on things. We're not necessarily viewing our career paths and trajectories as a jungle gym. And I would love to see our industry do more of that, where they're more open to, hey, what do you bring to the business? What are you good at? What can you bring to the table? And then, you know, really trusting the person to sort of take ownership of delivering that. So I did see us take a step back, but I was I'm hopeful that it's changing. I mean, again, I have seen it visibly, but I hope companies are not going backtracking with now, you know, the mandates of being back in the office and the mandates of, you know, those kinds of things. I hope for the sake of our trajectory that doesn't change.
So Kim, we've talked a lot about kind of the challenges that women are facing in the industry. And so if you had to give a couple pieces of advice to women just kind of starting their careers in facility maintenance or looking to advance, what would you say to them?
So I have so many like little nuggets of wisdom that I always try to remember, and I'll often share along the way if I'm hearing something, because I've always appreciated people sharing their little nuggets of wisdom as well. I would say first and foremost, get comfortable with the answer no, because as soon as you get comfortable with that, you're not afraid to ask. And you know, the more you can view the answer of no as, well, I've learned something from that no. What have I learned? Instead of, oh, that was a no and I've failed, then, you know, the better. I would say something my mom always shared with me, leap and the net will appear. I think just be comfortable with risk. Be comfortable with taking risks. You don't get to where you want to go without taking that risk. And then finally, one of my favorites, and actually sometimes I sing this song in my head because this is something that I struggle with the most, because we're so emotionally connected as women and because we're so committed and loyal and caring and all the qualities that make us so awesome. And we've talked about all those awesome qualities. Oftentimes we have trouble knowing when to hold them, knowing when to fold them, knowing when to walk away and knowing when to run. Because we really get emotionally invested and we care, sometimes it's hard for us to see the forest through the trees, right? And it's, you know, seeing big picture of when someone you're working with or someone who's working for you isn't the best fit, or when you should see, you know, the you know, what's possible, and, you know, versus like what's happening today, and when you should really decide or make those harder decisions. And maybe it's just me. I could be speaking for women who are like, no, I'd never have that problem. But I tend to have a problem of sort of being too supportive and holding on too long and saying, I want you to make it. And I want to cheerlead you. But oftentimes making those decisions swifter, it helps both parties, right? It helps the other person learn and understand and adapt. And it kind of allows us the freedom, the people who are making the decision, the freedom to move on and to adapt and make those other decisions. So That's a piece of advice, I think. And I don't know, Rhiannon and Tori, if you share the same struggle of knowing when hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. But that is definitely probably a really good piece of advice.
Absolutely. Just the honesty and the second guessing sometimes of yourself. And yeah, you want to make the right decision. You want to do the right thing, both for you and the others involved. So I think that's a great piece of advice. Before we close, I just want to thank you for being such a good, great cheerleader in this industry and mentor for a lot of females that are there. And I've learned a lot from you myself. And I just want to thank you for your time today. And we just really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. It's sincerely my pleasure. Yeah. It's sincerely my pleasure. You are the company you keep, so don't ever forget that. There's no better than or more progressed than or wiser than. You are the company you keep, and we all keep wonderful company. So thanks for having me.
Well, we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kim.
See you soon.
Well, we want to just thank Kim for joining us today and for sharing her truly, truly invaluable insights. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And don't forget, y'all, to like, share, and subscribe for more episodes.
Absolutely. And drop a comment below on your thoughts on this topic. If there's anything else that comes to mind that you want to share, and for more topics in the future, until next time, keep on innovating.